writing across the curriculum continues to need some work. And I'm a little worried about professional development aligned to the New Jersey Core Content Standards and Achieve NJ and putting that there, only because I'm hearing so many different stories about what might come out this week about the Common Core, that I wonder if we should change it to professional development aligned to standards. I don't know what they're going to be this week.
And well, have that
you have the brand new science standards coming too.
What did you say? Aligned to our curriculum.
Aligned to our curriculum.
Yeah.
And I think it should say for all employees. So that there's something targeted for everyone to get their skills.
Right. Well, that's what we did this year. I think really it may have been, we were very comprehensive when we did the online training. Every employee had to finish that online training. Every single one.
Environment goal. We didn't talk as much about that as we did the student achievement, even sort of the student partnership.
But can we go back to the student achievement? So the ones we had for 13-14, they were somewhat of a subset of the goals from the strategic plan. Should we look back at the strategic plan to see if these are still the subset?
I think it's attached here.
Actually, it is. Back up in the slide. And you can see
we have it printed.
Yeah.
So I know one of the goals, the broad goals that were in the strategic plan.
Yeah, let's see.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, those were the goals.
I'm sorry, and one of the things that we committed to doing as a board in the February timeframe was once we got back on track in July, this fall, we were going to revisit those overall goals, the district goals. And make sure that if we needed to change some, eliminate some, bring some up to speed, we were going to do that this fall.
If you look at number two in the student achievement, the articulation, I mean, that to me is a really important goal that we just need to work more on. And I don't know, I mean, I have it in my head as an important goal for the district to work on. I don't know if we want to add it into that list under student achievement, but maybe that would give it more strength, so to speak, if we put it in there. But that purposeful articulation is a really critical piece in terms of student achievement.
And that would be K-8?
You know, it's come up in terms of, you know, fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, and articulating fourth and fifth grade, we're making a lot of changes, but we wanted to make sure they were articulating with sixth grade and with third grade, and getting that all managed is challenging sometimes because we have different buildings for different grade levels. So it's not as easy as just, boom, just set it up.
So the goals for 14-15, we're going to do those in July, and then update the strategic plan in the fall. Shouldn't it be the other way around? I had gotten feedback that these were outdated, the strategies in the district plan. But if they're outdated, should we update these before we assign goals for academic year?
I think there's a fair enough number of them that still apply. And still would positively impact student achievement, productive citizens, and a supportive environment and communication. So there's still plenty on here that I think we can still focus on. Some of them probably have, you know, don't apply anymore, but we're not going to focus on those this evening. So I think there's still enough here that apply that we can still continue to work in that direction.
I generally agree. I just had the previous feedback I had gotten was that this was not valid data and that this needed to be updated prior to setting the goal. goals. I get it. I think there's enough in the general statements we could work from. It's just a little counter to the feedback I had gotten. I thought this was had to be fixed before we could do this.
Well, the strategic plan was developed in what year?
2010.
So it was a five-year plan.
Yeah.
So essentially, it should run through technically 2015. One of the things that boards will often do when they have a strategic plan, and I'm not really clear why it didn't happen here, but one of the things, and I believe that we did it, didn't we? I think we did the strategic plan for the district, was that typically we would come back once a year every April and do a review on an annual basis to say, where are we? What was accomplished? Are these things still valid? What has changed? What adjustments do we need to make? So that plan needs to be flexible enough, but it also needs to change and evolve, because if nothing else, we've seen in the last 2 years in education, there's just this like neck-snapping, you know, head-snapping amount of change. So I think, to your point, that's really very valid. My suggestion would be is to do a strategic plan renewal either sometime in late fall or through the sort of almost into early winter, so that you will have then a new set of strategic plan goals for your goal setting in beginning in 2015 that will run 15 through. And I would tell you now, we do fewer and fewer strategic plans that are 5 years out. You know, getting past 3 years right now is even getting iffy. And so my suggestion would be is, and I think it's very valid to your from your perspective too, to look at the next 3 years and do that sort of strategic planning renewal process either late fall and into early winter, and those will become then the basis for the next 3 years.
The other piece of that I think will add to our understanding of a future strategic plan is that we'll be getting the demographers report, you know, by the end of summer. And I think that'll give us some idea of what may be happening for the future. We also have to plan for and strategize about for our schools, our buildings, everything. And that could color it in a completely different way than you might think of today.
And that's a very good point. I mean, that's a really good report to have at the ready when you begin that process, because clearly it will impact some of the thinking. And to the point around public participation, when you're doing things well, they don't come. But one of the ways to engage your community is to do that kind of strategic planning and invite them in and say, okay, you know, we want you to be part of the process. You know, tell us what you think, what's important to you, what do you value, what's really do you see as the challenges in front of you for your children, for your community, and then work forward from there. So
we did that last time, we had a really good turnout.
Yes, mm-hmm. I know that you did. I remember when Joanne did it. I know that you did have a good turnout. So
I wanted to go back to that supportive environment. Because there's something as superintendent that is kind of weighing on my mind, and I'm not sure how to phrase it, but we've been attending a lot of training from the prosecutor's office, and I know I've shared with the board some of the trends that the prosecutor's office is seeing statewide and across a number of states, actually, with young students, middle schoolers, elementary level students, that were not surprising to me because we're seeing it in our community, in our schools. What I didn't realize was that it was becoming more and more prevalent as a trend. And so there are things in that list of trends that I sent to all of you that are very concerning to me in terms of the supportive environment for students that we have to be thinking about more and how to address them, those issues, more proactively all right? We're seeing more suicide threats. We're seeing more family issues, divorce, DIFAS concerns. We're seeing cutting, all right? A lot of things that more threats being made at a younger age, whereas suicide threats used to be, you see that in high schools, we're seeing it starting from 9 years old, man. And that's not in Clinton Township, that's across the board. It's becoming a trend in our society. And so those things, although they're not pleasant to talk about, I think we have to address them and say these are concerns for our kids in our society as it is right now. And if it's trending, you know, sexting among, you know, seventh grade girls is a major trend, all right? We have to really, I know it's addressed in responsible use of social media, but we really have to think of, is there any other way that we should be putting something in there regarding that supportive environment? Because I do have a lot more concerns about it, and every workshop I've attended, every training I've gone to, is talking about being school districts being more and more proactive, because there is a threat from within. All right, Columbine was not a threat outside. That was from within. And so that's what you really want to make sure that you don't have happen in your schools. And I don't know that you can ever totally avoid those things, but I'd like to feel better about what we're doing to be more proactive.
I know, Dr.
Probably be able to adjust and adapt, I guess, to changing times.
Yeah. Yes.
You have to recognize what you said.
No, I know Dr. Clark and I have talked about this quite a bit over the last 4 weeks or so. And, you know, I support her thoughts, and I think if, you know, we're educating the whole child, not an academic child only, right? And so this is part of educating and helping the whole child and being responsible as a district to helping develop and take care of the whole child. And I just think there are so many things that are going on with our children right now. We can have the best educational, you know, programs in place, but if kids are hurting or have misinformation or are, you know, all the things that Dr. Clark spoke to, but if we're not addressing those things, it really doesn't matter what we're doing in the classroom, because these are bigger things that are impacting their ability to learn. And so I fully support putting something up here in that regard, some sort of program, or we don't even need to, just a direction, and then over the next 6 months or so, we'll try to develop a program that gets put in place, whether it be a grade level, different grade levels with different topics.
Do you think a lot of it stems from HIV?
I'm sorry?
Do you think a lot of it stems from HIV? I mean, you know.
Well, there's a lot of talk about that in terms of, you know, a number of those students are certainly students who have been bullied at one point or another in their life. But I think as a society, something else is going on larger than that, because I think bullying is a real issue that has to continually be addressed, but bullying has been around for a very, very long time, all right? I'm sure that our parents experienced it in some way or another, and yet the same societal trends did not result. So I think bullying plays a part in it. I think you're right, Mark, but I don't think it's the whole piece. And you know, there are some programs. One of the things that, you know, I know peer-to-peer programs, the mentoring, doing more of those, but...
Well, could we write it broadly enough to say, to focus on being proactive and addressing societal issues that are impacting our students that are age-appropriate?
Yes. Yes.
And that provides flexibility.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we could list, you know, such as, you know, suicide ideation, you know, we could list all of those, but I really think it's about...
Yeah, I think that's a broad enough, so when I put together the action plan, I mean, we're talking about, you know, with some of our special education students and finding more ways for them to be more included, more participating more in those social kinds of things that are hard to get at. You know, they're little invisible things. And, you know, there's an interesting program out there called Circle of Friends. So we're looking at that program to bring it in more and incorporate it more for some of our students with some other social challenges. So I think that kind of statement is broad enough. I can work with that on an action plan.
Okay. Question for you, Dr. Clark, on this. And everything is, you know, we talked about this. It's pretty scary stuff. And we want to do things that are age-appropriate for the children. Do we also want to run a parallel, make sure the parents of the children in the district are informed about this? Because there are conversations you can have with parents that I think can be more frank, you know, signs, things to recognize. When is your child having, I mean, we're all parents. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it isn't so easy. So is there a way that we can potentially, with some outside guidance, figure out a way to keep the parents informed on that as well?
Yes.
And you probably tie that in to the third piece.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you know what I'm saying? So that aligns perfectly in terms of that community engagement is to do that parent education part, because I think as a parent, as a grandparent, more information, I think it's scary to be a parent of a child right now.
Yeah,
I do.
I have a second grader, and it's getting really difficult to get the answer to how was your day.
You don't ask that question. You have to ask those specific questions.
Well, we do that too, but the first thing, so you go, how was your day? And, okay, what was the best thing that happened to you today? What was the worst thing that happened to you today? That kind of stuff. But, you know, I imagine, you know, the parents of the older children, even if you start asking, you're going to get the eye roll on some level. So I, as a parent, could use education on this kind of stuff.
So to Kevin Sturgis's point, though, if we were to put this all just in a bucket, to me, that does not get to some of the rigor that I think I'm hearing that you're looking for in updating the plan. Maybe this is something we should be looking at and reviewing with more specificity for both the students and the parents in a shorter time frame, you know, not next year, for example.
What you do, I think, all right, is if you're putting in a broad spectrum type goal right now, then when I put the action plan together, the action plan has the specifics of what we're going to do, when we're going to do it, timelines.
Yeah, I'm going is when is the action plan? You know, if the action plan comes in June, for example, we lost the year.
The action plan's got to come in the next month or so.
That's acceptable.
So I'll meet with the administrative team. I'm going to assume you set the goals tonight and board approved them. I meet with the administrative team and we start mapping out an action plan to fit those goals so that we can start moving in September. Last year was kind of off dates, so it was a little bit harder because we did it in the middle of the year, but this year we have it in the right sequence.
It's just like a business plan.
Okay.
So you have your strategies. And
I was looking for that. It's in the next 30 days. It's the next 45 days. Not. It's the next 6, 7, 8, 9 months.
Right. And so here are the sort of the next steps. The board would adopt these as goals, or at least convey that message to the superintendent that we've reached consensus. These are the district goals. The action plans will be developed by the superintendent, which will include things such as, you know, here are the strategies. Here's the personnel that are involved. Here are the costs and the resources necessary. The costs don't necessarily mean money. You know, it can be time and that kind of piece. And then what are the benchmarks? What are the indicators of achievement? How will we as a board know, how will the community know that this has been accomplished? So it will include very specific indicators. So you might know, for example, if you held a parent meeting around parent education, it might be the agenda. It might be the PowerPoint presentation. I don't know, but you would be able to then say, okay, we have these, we see that this really happened, we know that it took place, so that they're measurable. Even in this area that's a little less quantifiable, it's more qualitative than it is quantitative to talk about some of these parent education.
have to accept them. What we were told by the county is the board has to accept it formally at a board meeting.
Exactly. But my point is you don't get to approve or disapprove because you will hold the superintendent accountable at the annual evaluation for their performance and the achievement of those goals through those actions outlined in the action plan. So maybe, Kevin, that helps to outline a little better for you what the sort of the next pieces are to this process.
When you spoke in the beginning of the meeting, something you had said had kind of caught my ear. It was, you know, has anything drastically changed since the last time we did this that changes things? That's one of them, that topic. I think everyone here spoke about it very well, and we spoke about it before. But is there anything else big like that that would might require us to just do more than just update this goal for the next year? You know, that's one. I think that's a big deal. And it's big, you know, parent communication, educating the students, peer programs, rewarding acts of kindness. We've had that in our prior goals. But that's kind of a big one that jumps out that needs more attention. But, you know, is there anything else? Like Dr. Clark, you talked about with PARC. Is there anything relating, you know, because in our five-year plan, you know, we talk about how we perform on the DFG relative to ASC. Do we need it to have anything relating to PARC in our plan?
We included a number of things in the budget in terms of expanding bandwidth and the Chromebooks. We had that multi-year plan to address it. So we've done a lot of those things. We did it in the budget this year. The way we set up the teaching staff, all of that, the parent resource. We did a lot of those things to address those in
you
terms
about
of this
pushing down
past
technology
year.
And typing training. So
yeah, I think I actually think that one of the things that may come up that I don't know where we address it, all right, if it does come up, maybe the community involvement, but, you know, you have full-day kindergarten issue looming ahead, all right, and information about that, and that's really also tied in to the demographer's report. And that may also impact your buildings and an assessment of how you want to operate those buildings. Right. So,
it's like something like that. That's kind of a big one. And we've talked about it in board meetings for a long time. But that's something that didn't exist when we did this.
Mm-hmm.
Do we need to break the mold a little bit on the annual plan to fit something like that in? You know, the demographer's report. What's the impact on the enrollment? What's the impact on the schools? Is that something that needs to make it to the annual plan?
I think it's going to make it to your vision of the strategic plan. I'm not sure. Gwen, I'm searching here in terms of, I know we don't want to have so many goals that it, you know, overwhelms us all, but do we want to put something in under maybe the community partnership in terms of our facilities?
The demographer's report is due. You may want to make that your fourth goal, which
instead of, I'm wondering if could we do it instead of a fourth goal, Gwen?
Okay.
And could we put it in terms of the community partnership? All right. Could we have something maybe? So communication in all areas, particularly our budget. Then the second bullet point might be communication regarding facilities, demographer report, because the demographer report would be the specific of it.
Dr.
So
Clark,
it would be communication.
May I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
Maybe perhaps communication of results of demography report and impact on facilities, attendance, and budget? right? Because we don't know what the democracy, look, the report came back and say everything's awesome.
Yeah.
But we need to effectively, to your point, I think, and to your point, we need to effectively communicate whatever that demographics report says, and further to your point, what does
what's
it mean?
The impact?
What does it mean in 6 months,
yeah.
18 months, 24 months to the budget,
yeah.
to student enrollment, mm-hmm. to the use and the responsible use of
if
the facilities?
If it's status quo,
district.
It doesn't. It means something, but it's not a sea change.
Status quo.
If enrollment's going way down, it means something. If it's going
right.
way up, it means something.
So maybe we need to make a board goal this year to really mm-hmm. thoroughly. Make it our role to understand the impact of the demographic report to effectively communicate it across the various aspects that the board touches.
Did you evaluate the impacts of the demographic report on
correct.
All of the above?
Correct.
Maybe it's not so much the communication. Maybe it's really...
Well, you know, it's everything.
But
it's,
yeah, I mean, it. But in terms of a board goal itself, maybe it's more about developing some facilities planning.
It isn't
well, based on
it.
It's right?
not a supportive environment. It's just develop an analysis of current building use and a plan for updating and maintaining facilities, including major products, costs, and schedules.
That's the strategic. We're talking
that's
about
the strategic.
Right,
not
I mean,
in here.
But still, doesn't one
so
sort
if
of tie
in? How about if we said an analysis of the results of the demographic study and its impact on the utilization of facilities, budget, and future staff?
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
I mean, because that's really what you're going to be looking at. You know, if the enrollment goes up, it has an impact. What does it mean for utilization of your facilities? Budget, staffing, obviously it has curricular issues impact as well.
Personal
and if it's going
issues.
Down,
yeah.
okay,
yeah.
then it has it's a whole different kind of ball game. Or if it's static, right, if it looks like it may have declined, but with the economy
mm-hmm.
coming back gradually, it may have less of an impact than you're thinking it might.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea. You know, we did one in our community, and we found that this was long before the, you know, great second recession or depression or whatever you wanted to call it. We found that 50% of our increase in students were coming from housing resales. So even though our community was built out, we were still getting 50% of our student increases from the resale of homes. Now, resale homes in the last couple of years has really declined significantly. Building starts have declined significantly. So you may see a significant decline in enrollment. I don't know. I mean, I don't know your community well enough to know that. But the demographer will come back to you with that, and then you will be able to make some plans. And having that, I think, that analysis would bode well for perhaps doing, and I would probably recommend this as your board goal, to do a strategic plan and renewal after the first of the year when you've had time to look at all of this information, digest it, and then be able to present it to the community as part of the strategic planning process. As here's the state of the community, here are the state of the schools, here's what we know now, help us plan for the future, whatever that looks like. So it's a perfect time to sort of be able to do that strategic planning. Yes.
I would change future staffing to curricular implications because I think it's bigger than staffing. I think it could affect programs,
mm-hmm.
affect class size,
yeah, yeah.
it could affect resources that you purchase. So I just don't think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not just staffing. I mean, I was just trying to come up with some wording because, as I said, you're right. It's going to impact curriculum, programs, co-curricular programs. I mean, it's
right.
it hits every part of your, what it is you do in your district, obviously.
It affects all districts.
It's pretty inclusive. So we can wordsmith this to come up with
okay.
exact wording. So because it will impact your co-curricular program, your curriculum,
mm-hmm.
your staffing levels,
yep.
what you can and can't do, you know, all of those. So okay. So under then this third goal area
mm-hmm.
around mutually beneficial excuse me, partnership communications, we're gonna keep the budget piece. We're also going to add focus on parental education on critical issues as a way of engaging and communicating effectively with your parents, and then an analysis of the results of the demographic study and its impact in every area of the district. Anything else that you think needs to be included? I mean, this is a pretty big plate, just more like a platter.
Yes, I see.
Pie is growing.
I mean, we keep getting bigger, you know, and I always like to say you need to be realistic, because in addition to these, there's the everyday running of the, you know, the district that the superintendent is responsible for, and you don't want to make it so onerous that you're setting yourself up for failure. You want to set yourselves up for success. So is there anything else? Yes?
Just going back to the one about supportive environment with the societal issues, and I was going to get to at one point, but we have the goal of articulating with the high school about curricular issues, but I really think we need to include articulating with high school about the supportive environment and societal issues, because I know now that the high school will send out, for example, you know, here are some dangerous apps they need to be aware of, and making parents aware. And I think for people with younger children, you may not know what those particular dangers are, but I think if there's some kind of articulation with the high school about what issues they're seeing, you know, you have that trickle-down effect.
Right, right.
So I just think, you know, strengthening that would be also imperative.
It's a very good point.
That's right. It's not a suggestion for a goal, but I just wanted to talk about it for a minute. In the strategic plan, we had a goal about comprehensive assessments. We didn't really have any at the time other than ASK, and we were trying to figure out, you know, track the kids more closely to predict how they were going to perform on ASK. And I think the outcome of that was math testing, maybe in like 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it was a goal at the time as a means of improving ASK scores. And that's obviously changing to PARC, but the map testing, we're still doing it in the lower grades through 6, but
yes.
Not 7-8.
Right.
So that's continuing for next year?
Yes. Okay. Right now it is, yeah. We want to look at some other options, but we haven't found anything that we really love for the older grades. But I think we're going to have to take a look at it to see what else we can do. We wanted to get a feel for what was going to be happening with PARC, frankly.
Before picking
and see, you know, what's going to correlate with it.
Do you like math for the lower grade?
Sorry, Gwen, but I don't know what's going to... I feel stupid saying this, because I feel like... I just keep saying to all of you, it keeps changing. But it does, and it's some of it is not making the best sense to me, educationally.
Do we like MAP for K to 6?
I do, and the teachers like it too. The teachers are saying it's correlating and aligning very well with everything they've seen so far. So they like the MAP for the younger grades. The middle school teachers, no.
Okay.
It's not the same correlation.
So are we comfortable with these as district goals for 2014-15? Yes?
I have one more.
Please.
not to add on to it.
Only one?
Only one more.
Nights are early.
No,
it doesn't matter anymore.
Do we want to put a bullet point in on security? Obviously, we're making a lot of security changes to all the buildings this year, but do we want to have some type of bullet point that will evaluate those changes over time and see if there's any areas where we can put in some improvements?
It would be a supportive environment, I suppose.
I'd answer that with a yes.
You mean whether they're working or not? Yeah.
Well, we'll be.
Right.
More needs to be done.
We know why.
Assuming we get
them
built.
Well, no, we're looking at the yes part of the strategic plan.
No, I'm wondering if that comes in with the facilities plan that gets generated and we make that part of the overall plan.
In the long range?
Well, the short and long range.
John, are you talking about maybe revisiting what was done last year at the end of the year, going back with Perrette and saying, all right, have we done all we can that's critical?
Exactly.
You know,
we had the, I'm trying to think of when it was, we had the security ad hoc committee.
Yeah.
That was when John Higgins came on, which was January 13.
And then, yep, so the committee met, presented, and then the architects, that's why we've got what we've got right now.
I guess the improvements were an outcome partially of that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of being wrapped up in the next few months here. Those initial.
Are they part of the RAD grant construction?
Yes.
Well, yes, some. And we have a issue on permits right now.
I think it warrants following up. I mean, it was a big enough topic to have an ad hoc committee. It was because of current events at the time.
Right.
That was
yes.
what drove it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But we had that detective bird in.
Well, we have school safety committees now as part of the, you know, the whole law surrounding all this, we have to have now school safety committees. So every school has a committee that specifically deals with this and assesses what's going on in the buildings, and that gets reported to me. So when they have particular concerns about something, I generally hear about it.
So rather than perhaps making it a goal, what you're really looking for, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but perhaps what you're really looking for is a report on, you know, what was accomplished as a result of the ad hoc security task force and the architectural pieces that were, and building construction, whatever you did, as a result of their recommendations to improve safety and security. So rather than making it a whole goal, because I think when you get to this demographer piece and an analysis of that report and its then impact on the utilization of facilities, that could change dramatically what it is you just, it may not, but it might change dramatically what, how you're using your buildings, the kinds of things you need to be doing. So I think perhaps having a report that sort of coalesces all of the changes that have been made in a response to that committee, and I think that's probably a good piece to present to your parents and your community in the October-November timeframe, you know, once school's back in, to say, here's what we have done over the course of the last few years. It's always at the forefront. It's included in our budget. We continue to work on it. We haven't made it a specific goal because it's just part of our standard operating procedure that we are constantly reviewing the safety and security arrangements for our children, doing everything we can to ensure the safety of children and staff while understanding that no plan is 100% foolproof. You know, I listened to, I think, an accounting roundtable and made my heart stop. The executive county superintendent mm-hmm. said, you know, anymore it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And my heart just sort of stopped in my chest, because I thought, how did we get here? You know, but that's an issue for a different day. But I think maybe that might address it. I don't know. You tell me. You're the board. I'm just making a suggestion. I hate to put it on as another goal, because I think the goals that you have here are pretty big and pretty huge. So to make it another goal, do you know what I'm saying?
I think we need a report.
Kevin, what if we make it part of our facilities and finance committee meetings, and then you report out on a monthly meeting, you know, what's happened in regards to that discussions we might have had, as much as we can possibly share.
Sure, that's a great idea.
If we do that, and then this way we make it part of that monthly meeting, we make sure we review that and cover that, and then what we can say publicly, you can report out.
We can do that, and then John, you know, to follow on your point, how do you and the board feel about, as we talk about the demographer study, utilization on facilities budget, staffing, curricular, you know, we can say utilization of facilities / student safety.
Student and staff safety and security. Right. Mm-hmm.
That way at least it's codified in something that there is.
Right.
There's something it's a good reminder, the phrase student safety in there, of our need to be cognizant of the changes mm-hmm. we've made this year and mm-hmm. the ongoing need.
Right. Mm-hmm. Dr. Clark, do the school safety teams, is that what they're called? Committees?
Yeah,
do they,
safety teams, I think.
Do they discuss or look at physical security?
Do they discuss?
Like physical security of the building, like doors being locked?
Yes,
security.
Yes, they do. Yeah, in fact, you know, one of the big issues that's come up is, you know, the rec program at 9. And Heather and I today spoke with Tom Sylvia about concerns about some of that and some ways to deal with it. Where I try to listen to what the concerns expressed are, and then we try to address each of those individual problems.
So what we're saying is that safety and security in the school systems is pretty important to the community. So it does belong, at least now, or at least in the short term, I would think, to John's point, as a district goal. Maybe it's not going to be here in 15-16 because it's more resolved or can be incorporated elsewhere. But at this stage of the game, it seems from a community perspective, a national perspective, that it's important enough to at least be brought up and identified to the community as being something more than, not that it's not important, but more than an operational goal, that it's a strategic goal that the
You know, I'm always looking for topics for the Clinton Township newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
And this might be talking about those school safety teams and some of the things going on. You know, we're having the whole emergency responders drill in mm-hmm. our building, and the purpose is for them to know our buildings better so that, you know, heaven forbid something did happen, they could get around our buildings. They have some familiarity with them. So we're doing that this summer. And all of those little things are things that every time I go to another workshop, I hear, okay, wait, we could do something there that just helps that little bit more to deal with it. You know, I'm trying to plan a reunification drill and for the district, a lot of different things with the prosecutor's office. We have a very good relationship now with Kevin Byrd. He wants to come back and talk to our parents again. So
it sounds like it's risen to a level of importance that we should be, at least for the short term, which could be a couple of years, have that on our district goals.
In terms of strategic planning you're talking about, yeah, I think it would be. I think in this time, it has to be on the forefront of our minds all the time.
I mean, what I was thinking, just to kind of finalize this thought, was all the security enhancements we're putting in place over the summer, unfortunately, were reactive to what happened in current events. Mm-hmm. I'd like us to be a little more proactive, if we can. So we're putting in these changes, that's great, that doesn't mean we should just stop. We should continue to evaluate and look at it and see what else can we do.
One of the things that I'm trying to get at in terms of that proactive piece is the supportive environment, because that's where you have to get to so that you can maybe identify things and stop things before they start. And that's the internal threat. I mean, there's an external threat that's something entirely different, all right? You know, but most of these shootings now and incidents are from an internal threat. So that's what concerns me in terms of the supportive environment, being more proactive there in terms of trying to identify kids earlier, because the trend seems to be much earlier identification now of kids with weapons and everything.
You also have on your plate, and the last thing for this evening, you have a copy of your board self-evaluation. If you all participate in. And as you might recall, it asks you to look at the board's recent perspective. It asks you to look at the performance of the Board of Education, and that it asks you to evaluate your individual performance as an individual board member. I looked at this, and if you look at page one, it's the quantification of relative value. And this really asks you as board members to identify those areas that you think are the most critical to your role. And you identified, number one, board operations is the most critical component, followed by finance. Again, not surprising given the financial constraints, the mandates, you know, the struggle that everyone is sort of dealing with in terms of finance of the district, okay? And the first four areas are those areas that are more quantifiable: planning, policy, student achievement, and finance. And then the last five areas are more relationship-driven: the board and the community's relationship, the board and the staff, the board themselves in terms of your own individual performance, and the board and superintendent relationship. And so what I generally do is as I'm reading through this, draw a line between good and adequate, and I look to see if there are any indicators where a majority of the board says their performance is just adequate or it's unsatisfactory. And then, of course, you have the numerical values as well. And what you can see is that in most of them, in most every area, for those of you who are more visual learners, I put together a chart that is really the take one and pass it. What you will see is this chart just sort of shows you what you're looking at in the written document. So what you can see, for example, is that in almost every indicator, which makes you very human, what you will see is that you rate your own individual performance better than that of the board, which goes to, I know what I'm doing is the other 8 of you that has an issue. So it's not surprising. Most boards turn out exactly this way.
So you finally agree with me?
So that's not surprising to me at all when I look at these all of the time. And then I generally look to see if there's any category where there's a huge division between how you graded the board and how you graded your own individual performance, because if there's a huge divide between the two, it's generally indicative that there might be some professional development that you might want to undertake in a particular area. And so really, on page 8, under board performance, these items 2, 4, and 7 were your lowest scores. And I will tell you, this is an extraordinarily good self-evaluation. I can tell that you clearly work together as an effective team 99% of the time, which makes you certainly more highly effective than a lot of the boards of education that are out there. And these indicators are really mostly about your own performance, making sure that you're coming to all of your board meetings, having taken the time to do that kind of homework that you may need to do, and then working together and ensuring that you are abiding always by the kind of code of ethics that all board members have. You know, we did that code of ethics training last February. My recommendation would be that you do it annually. It's actually a requirement of New Jersey CUSAC, and I think it would address whatever's here. The next most interesting piece to me is that we ask you to identify what you see as the challenges moving forward. You find that on page 12. And almost to a one, you talk about fiscal constraints, unfunded mandates, budgetary concerns. You identify declining enrollment potentially as being of concern, which is where I came from having read this. And then we ask what areas of professional development you might be most interested in, you think would be most helpful. One was around committee operations, roles and responsibilities, and ethics. So I think if on an annual basis you do that ethics training, I think it should address this. Boards generally do the self-evaluation as a best practice. You've held your superintendent accountable. You then look at how you operate yourselves to see if there are any areas where you as a board may want to look at how you are governing yourselves and operating for improvement. I didn't see anything that really jumped out to me and said, wow, we could do this absolutely better if we did X, Y, and Z. There were very few comments in most of the areas, which made it a little more challenging. But my recommendation for you all, and most boards do create a board goal for every board year, would be to ensure that in the 2014-15 school year, you complete a strategic plan in collaboration with your administration so that you have that moving forward. And that would certainly be an appropriate board goal because you all need to participate and really steer the process and help to make it happen. But I'm certainly open to your comments and your thoughts.
I think that, first off, what you're saying is all well and good. But like everything associated with schools, it seems to be as a timing issue. An example now would be is that we really do need to have is the 14-15 strategic plans, whatever they encompass, in place now. What's interesting is one-third of the board may not be here January 1.
I know.
So in that regard, what we agree to in the August, September timeframe for the school year may be completely off track from January 1.
Right.
And that's not to say what we would do today would not be good things. It's just that there may be a new thought process come January 1 of any given year, not just 2015.
But typically it's one third of the board and not more on most boards, although it could be more if you had someone who moved or had to resign or had illness, whatever, and it was more than even board seats. I think it's one of the unintended impacts of the changed election date, because now instead of being elected in April and reorging in May, and then doing your goals, you know, and starting that 3-year cycle of board membership, a third of the board every 3 years, you're now doing it in January. So it's really off cycle. it does make it challenging. On the flip side of that, it's better for the budget, because now the new board members have an opportunity to have input into the budget, where before you were elected, you were setting goals and your budget was already struck. So there's no, to your point, you're right, but there's no
good, there's no
answer.
Good timing.
You know, the state hasn't sort of gotten it 100% correct yet, but maybe if they move the election to June instead of the nonpartisan election. You know, because the whole purpose of moving the election, as you all know, was to increase voter participation. And so far, we have not seen, and we track it as an association, we have not seen any evidence of a sustained increase in voter participation. Now, the first year, it was the national election for the president, so obviously you got more people turning out. This past year was an off-year election, meaning there was no presidential election. So it'll be interesting to see at the end of 3 years, you know, 2 years off, 1 year on with the presidential thing, to see how much increase in participation there is. So, what's your thoughts around the selfie app? What is the most interesting piece that you, as you read it, that came out, that you highlighted or thought would be? And did you find it valuable?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting, some of the areas that we were split on, but what I think from training with New Jersey school boards is that student achievement is vital to our goal. So I was surprised that not everybody, it wasn't unanimous that everybody felt student achievement was vital. I'm just kind of surprised by that.
I've been a little surprised that it didn't come up higher than it did. But I think boards tend so much, I view it almost as in your case, having worked with you, since your focus is so much that, I think you were thinking about other things that you need to be thinking about, because that is your primary focus, so those other things are supporting that primary focus. I have boards that spend absolutely no time discussing student achievement. You know, if you say to them, which we sometimes do at a workshop, I say, how much time have you spent talking about student achievement over the course of your board year? And if people are honest, there are some people who will say, oh, I don't know, maybe once every couple of months. You know, we got a testing report. That's it. You know, they don't celebrate kids with student recognition. They don't celebrate their staff. They're not talking about student achievement. That's getting less and less common. But I will tell you, when I sat on my board, now this goes back over a decade ago, we did not spend nearly the amount of time that the majority of the boards in the state are now spending on student achievement. It just didn't happen. It was bricks and books and buses and budgets, and not necessarily in that order. And when we talked about books, it wasn't about which textbook was necessarily best, it's what did it cost. So, and what kind of buildings did you need to have, because enrollment was growing and that kind of thing. So it's different today. And that's
but also, is it the lower score due to lack of confidence, lack of belief, et cetera, or is it confusion on what's going on in the world today in regards to measuring student achievement, looking at core curriculum standards, what people's positions are in that, et cetera? And when you look at the questions, is that how are you, what frame of reference are you using to answer the questions? I think in today's environment, it's much more confusing than it was, say, 10 years ago.
So would you be comfortable with writing a board goal around implementation of the strategic plan and developing a new or strategic plan and renewal? What would you?
be comfortable with what you said before, which was to develop a new strategic plan for 2014-15 in coordination with district administration, and I would add community, because I think that's important to get to include the community.
Okay. I'm going to do that and throw in administration, staff, and community.
Oh, yes.
We should.
I'm sorry, I meant the whole.
I know you did. I'm just being funny. You know, you don't want to leave out anybody. It's a staff count.
No,
the staff have a unique perspective. They're in the classrooms on a daily basis, so they have. You need their participation. So, any other board goals? I mean, I think this is a big enough one in conjunction with your volunteers. I don't think you need to undertake more than one. I think if you accomplish that, you will have done a lot.
That's a huge goal.
It is.
Very time consuming, too. Mm-hmm. It's yeah. Very time consuming. Oh, I've done this.
Yes, you've done it before. You know how large that is.
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions? I mean, that was our goal for tonight with all of you, was to talk about set of district goals, which you've done, which was to talk about your self-evaluation and to set a board goal. Anything else that you have any questions or concerns about? I will get this all back to your board president and your business administrator and superintendent so that they will be able to distribute it to you, so you don't have to worry about taking notes at all. I'll come back to you in the form of a goals memo so you have it for your information, or at least electronically. We're trying to save paper and have trees. Be a little bit green if we can. You know, and that's the other piece that may come out of that. We didn't really even talk about it, but may come out of that demographic. When you're talking about safety and security, it may also be some of those kinds of sustainable initiatives that may reduce costs long term, depending upon what you do with your facilities and where that demographic study is, as a way of increasing efficiencies, which would then allow you to move dollars, you know, into the classrooms and out of lighting and that, you know, all those kinds of things. So that's something else long term you may think about, and it may pop up in your strategic plan, doing the kinds of green, sustainable initiatives that will reduce costs for school districts. So.
Now, we have a meeting, our monthly board meeting next week, and so in two weeks. So, sorry.
2 weeks.
So,
Turn away about a whole week in the summer.
Too many roller coaster rides over the weekend. What I would like to suggest to the board and get feedback from all of you is that we adopt the goals that we've talked about tonight in 2 weeks, once we can put them in an orderly form. And then at that meeting, too, I can ask Dr. Clark to present us with a timeline of when you would be able to give us, when you may think that you and your staff would be able to present action plan to meet those goals.
I would say for the August meeting, we have an end of August meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I would say we should put it together and have it for the end of August meeting so that we can start implementing it right away.
And then the other thing is we need to establish multiple times during the year where you'll
mm-hmm.
let us know how we're performing as a district towards those goals. So if in that meeting in 2 weeks from now.
So how many times does the board want a report?
Do you guys
during
want
the year? That way I'll space it out.
Quarterly. You guys okay with quarterly?
As long as I'm not stressing.
Daily.
Gina wants it daily.
I want
it
by the daily.
I can do that.
No.
I've done
quarterly.
That
quarterly.
And an end of day summarization.
That's right. Hourly.
Oh my goodness. I think
we
should also
block
out Dr. Clark, and we should look at the calendar to block out dates for the strategic plan. That's what it takes.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to do a full-blown new strategic plan, or because we had just talked about
a renewal,
right? We just want to look.
I don't think we need to rip up.
I don't either. Because we have a good foundation here.
Yeah.
If we just did a renewal based on everything that's happening within the last year to 18 months, I think that's.
That's all we need to do. Are you okay with that? Yes. Renewal. So that'll be better than a whole. Yep. Storton, thank you very much for your time traveling here.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Enjoy the remaining days of summer. May they last long.
For the snow.
It will be no snow this year.
In the summer?
And you all probably love us working in this town.
And then you'll provide them with this.
I will get this.
Sure, you can take it. You can read my script.
All right. So now what we'll do is we'll move to old business. This portion of our meeting is for board members to ask questions about old school-related matters only. It's not a time to make personal statements. Rather, it is a time to review topics that have been previously discussed and bring up old topics to the business of the board. Does anybody have any old business they would like to bring up this evening? Ms. McLaughlin?
I think I'm going to try to fit in under old business, but we have a relationship now with the foundation for the boathouse, mm-hmm. and we had that invitation to attend a tour, I guess it was called. Did anybody have the opportunity to go? I was just curious to get an update. I did see them starting the archaeological dig. I was just curious to see if they had found anything.
I'm not aware of anything, but I'm sure we'll hear.
Maybe I'll email it on. I was just curious.
Any other old business?
Yeah. Broadband grants. Where are we with the approval process and estimated time of completion of the work? Do we know?
Well, the right now, in terms of the security vestibules, we've submitted the plans. We've submitted the plans to our town for permits, and while we're waiting on that, I think Mr. Wright went on vacation for 2 weeks, so as hopefully he should be back sometime soon, I would think.
He's just at my house, too.
And, oh, well then, hopefully we'll hear something any moment. And then while that's been going on, the construction company and such has been doing whatever they can do
without permit.
Without the permit.
Which is
but
to be clear. They can do nothing without permit in Clinton.
So what do we look like for completion versus day one school?
It will not be completed class.
I can't see how it's gonna happen for September 1. They haven't even started.
And it's all because of the permits.
Well, there's a lot of reasons.
Well,
no, not all. Yes.
I think it's. I think we got a little held up in that challenge to the bidding.
Right, right.
So that held us up a little bit, which is what held up the permit time application. So one thing, one glitch in the process, and it's summertime, and people have a little different schedule, and holds it up. So I don't believe they'll be ready.
They would get the school consideration.
Any other old business? No? Okay, seeing none, I'd like to move on to new business of the board. Under this section, like old business, this is not a time to make personal statements, rather the time to discuss two topics related to the business of the board and the district. Does anybody have any new business they'd like to bring up? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to our second recognition of the public. I'd like to open the floor to our second recognition of the public. This section is for members of the public to express themselves on school matters of community interest. We'll follow the same outline and as detailed in the public comment section on agenda items only. If you'd like to address the board, please approach the mic, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section to 10 minutes. Oh, sorry.
like to address the board? I'm now looking for a motion to adjourn the meeting.
So moved.
Moved by Ms. Fakaka.
Second.
Second, Mr. Frieda. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?